Hare Krishna, I'm very happy to be here in this temple. It really is a manifestation of the devotion of the devotees here. We are actually not rich and we are not very able to do things which require an expertise, but Srila Prabhupada would always say, if there is devotion in the heart, then this devotion can manifest beautiful things, even things which ordinarily we are not able to do. Like one devotee, he said, he described that when Srila Prabhupada came to New York, he told the devotees that he wanted a magazine to be published. And the devotees told him, we don't know how to publish. We only know magazines from reading occasionally some magazines. How should we publish a magazine? Do the layout, the photos, the binding and all. But Srila Prabhupada would just say, do it for Krishna. And then somehow the devotees would manifest or write a magazine. So many of us who were connected to this temple did not know how to build. But we felt there should be a temple in Zagreb. And then the devotees, through their devotion and their sincere desire to please Gornitai, seem to have attracted all these building materials, and they somehow came together to form this building. This is a principle in spiritual life, that if we have a sincere desire to do something for Krishna, then Krishna does become attracted by this sincerity of purpose, and he can help us to do things which ordinarily would not be possible for us to do. I'm very glad to be here also for the Gopunim festival. We have just come to the end, more or less, of a little tour which started in Germany and took us over Italy and Slovenia, Bosnia, and finally into Croatia. So I'm very glad to see all of you. We're a little exhausted from the tour. It was very very nice. There were many, many new devotees, and also many old devotees coming back to serve Krishna and renew their commitments in their spiritual life. That was very nice to see. Like in Split, we had a reunion of many old devotees. So it is these are all auspicious signs that we are approaching Gopunim. I have prepared a little seminar, which is, I believe, my best seminar which I have ever given so far. So you will be the first audience who hears it in the English language. Hare Krishna. Hare Bol Daiti Baksha. So let us start, huh?
Jai Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Pika. J Radhe Radha Madhava Punya Pitha Dana Vallava Viri Varada Kopi Dana Vallava Viri Varada Yasoda nana na braja jana ranjana Yasoda nana na braja jana ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chani Yamuna Tiravana Chani Yamuna Tiravana Chani Yasoda nanda na braja jana ranjana Yasoda nanda na braja jana ranjana Yasoda nanda Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Maria, Ashtada Satasi Simadesti Vaingres, Silave Charanaravinda Shila Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Maharaja Shila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So I want to thank you very much for coming. I thought to give a little series of lectures about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For me as a devotee, there was always a very important motive or motto in my spiritual life. I personally always feel and felt that if there is a spiritual reality, it's very important to experience the reality. There is a German philosopher, Feuerbach, who used to say, the question is not, is there God or is there no God? The question is, can I experience Him? Do you understand his logic? That it's almost like, well, I will say it in a language which we can all know. The question is not, is there prasadam cooked this evening, yes or no? The question is, can I eat prasadam in the evening? That's more important for me, because only by an experience does an reality become, let me say, a reality for me. So tomorrow is Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, on Tuesday is Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, and I would like to raise a question. The question is not if there is a Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yes or no. The question is, can we experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today? If we can experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today, and we can, if that would be possible, we would no longer be forced to remain in ignorance. If we could experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today, we would no longer be forced to live a maybe compromised spiritual life. If we could experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today, we would not think Krishna consciousness is a theory. If we could experience Chaitanya Mahaprabhu today, we would actually become convinced devotees. Hare Krishna. So, this question, Anandini, you look shocked. I have again managed to shock Anandini. This question I would like to address to all of you. Is it actually possible for a devotee in the year, what do we have, Venugopal, 2006 even. Oh, it goes so fast. 2006, to be in full Krishna consciousness? Or is it just a pious dream which we should bury with the earth of realism? And this is a question. There's a verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat. It says, Esa balilala kabu nari nahi paricheda avyabhavyatiro bhava ekahe veda. Although the Vedas describe that the Lord appears and also disappears, there's actually no end to his pastimes. Yes, we celebrate the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And yes, there is some information that he was 500 years and something on planet Earth, and then he disappeared. But according to this verse, the appearance and disappearance of the Lord is only a superficial vision. It is not really something which is actual. Actually, there is no end to his pastimes. That means he's always there. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad says that although the Lord appears and disappears, he actually is eternally present in Goloka. There's another verse from Chaitanya Bhagavat which informs us that the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can be even perceived by people in the present time. They can actually see the Lord dancing. The verse goes like this. Adyapiya chaitanya esa balila kare yakane yahare kara drishti adikare se deke aradiki bare shakti noe nirantara krida kore chaitanya gosai. The verse in its translation says, Lord Chaitanya performs these pastimes even today. My dear devotees, only when the Lord gives one the ability to see these pastimes, can one see them. Others have no ability to see Lord Chaitanya's eternal pastimes. I do remember that once in Shida Mayapur, the devotees told us a particularly sweet leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He left one night, it was about 12 o'clock, that means midnight, the ashram, and went through the dark roads. Then after some time, one servant came to check if everything was all right and found the spiritual master absent. And he looked all over and he saw a lonely figure walking in the darkness by the light of a few stars. He caught up with him and saw this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He followed him about 20 meters in the distance just to see that if everything went all right. And then he saw a group of kirtan devotees joining his spiritual master. These kirtan devotees were dressed in white dhotis and very elegant clothes. With golden borders, and they danced and danced to their heart's content. And the whole group, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and all these unusual men came to Shiva Sangam, and the servant only saw that they went into the temple and stayed for a long time. Later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur returned and outside of the temple, and the servant again followed him unnoticed back to the ashram. And later in the morning he asked him, Guru Maharaj, where were you? And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he had gone to join the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Shiva Sangam. And who were these men whom I never saw? And his answer was, they were demigods who had come to also participate in the kirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya performs his pastimes even today, and these pastimes can be seen when the Lord gives one the ability to see these pastimes. Others who have not been given this ability cannot see Lord Chaitanya's eternal pastimes. So I would now like to introduce a practice which is done in all other temples. During lectures, the kirtan, it's a need for the hall to be undisturbed and full of attention. Therefore, the children are usually requested to play during this time in another place. And I would, this is, by the way, a principle which holds true to all lectures, because it's so difficult to concentrate in this time and age. And I can imagine that you wish that you're... Oh yeah, you can wait, because now we are paying full attention to the children. I know how you feel. You want to be with in the lecture, and that you want to be with your child there. But it's good if they come during the kirtan. During lectures, you can play, and because you can anyways not pay full attention, since your attention is with the child, so you do not miss much. But thank you for coming and bringing your nectarian child. Hare Krishna. So when others in the temple see this, then it's good if the others tell this to the mothers and give the mothers access to a room where they can play with the children. But if the lecturer always has to do it, then the lecture is interrupted. And then it's not so nice for the flow of the subject. So please, when you see this, tell them, but without hurting the mothers and the children, because they want to be part of the spiritual atmosphere, and that is very good. That should be encouraged. I do remember from my own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, that he once was in a Ratha Yatra ceremony, and after the ceremony was finished, he said sat in the car, and he was driven back to his apartment. While he was driving, he turned to the driverji and told him, "Did you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu? They were dancing so nicely. Did you see them?" The devotee, I've told this story many times, did not want to be a Spielverderber, you know, someone who spoils the atmosphere. And he nodded, "Yeah, yes, yes, Prabhupada." But these two incidences, one by Srila Prabhupada and the other by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they give us a hint that it's possible to see the eternal pastimes of the Lord. And but also other devotees who may not be on the same level have reported that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu have appeared to them, especially in the holy dhams, in Sridharmayapur, and also in Vrindavan. Devotees have seen the true transcendental body, transcendental personalities, after they had been given the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu give you the mercy to see him? Is this an important question for you, Vrajamani? Would you like to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It would be nice, no? It happens when your heart is filled with devotion and when you desire to serve the Lord. then you will be able to relish all with the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in other words, waits for us to fill our hearts with devotion and to develop the sincere desire to serve Him. Rupa Goswami has written about this. He said, even today, if one of his dear devotees intensely desires to see one of his particular pastimes, then the merciful Lord immediately will exhibit that pastimes and show it for the devotee. So this is happening even today, when there is a devotee who intensely desires to see one of his pastimes, then the Lord will help his dear devotee and manifest that pastime. First, he will manifest the pastime on the screen of the introspective heart. And the devotee can actually relish this pastime by looking onto that screen. It's the best screen, better than all computer screens or cinema screens. It's the screen of the heart. Yes. This is something very, very nice, and we will in a moment hear from the scripture an incident of that. But for now I want to say that a devotee, if he chants the Maha Mantra and he thinks of the pastime of the Lord, he will find out how the pastime of the Lord is going on in his heart. Please, my dear devotees, this is not some theory. This actually happens today. And in this way, a devotee can actually be able to behold the Lord dancing in his heart. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has personally assured many, many devotees that he would be with them always, even after his so-called disappearance from this world. Why? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled by one thing. It's the bhakti which is in the heart of the devotee. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot say, no, I will not come, when he actually sees that there's a bhakti, a devotion in the heart. See, with bhakti you can see the Lord and also relish his pastime. But without bhakti, you cannot see the Lord. It's not possible. We have heard in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that during Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's times, not all the people saw him. And in the sense of recognizing him, the Bhattacharyas were there, these are the learned pandits, the tapasvis, the sannyasis, the jnanis, many yogis in Navadvip, they had totally different goals than bhakti. And because they had these totally different goals, they were not interested in devotion. They were not interested in a worship of a personal God in love and devotion. They just didn't see the Lord. That they just didn't recognize the Lord. They went about their business as usual. they just did not pay any attention. They just did not have any connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They went their ways. I have seen this once in Berlin. In Berlin we have one devotee who lives in a busy street. It's called the Dänenstraße. And he has arranged his temple room in such a way that there is an altar, and the altar directly looks out of the window into the streets. It's almost like here. Imagine these windows are bordering to a street, and there are people walking by this window. So the altar was just there. And I once made an experiment. I stayed in the altar room, and I wanted to see who would notice Lord Nrisimhadeva. It was a beautiful Nrisimhadeva, lit with many candles and so on. And there was a good number of people who stopped before the window, looked inside the window at the altar, and gave some sign of recognition that there is a divinity. Some touched their hands to their hearts, others made like this, others looked and smiled. But many, many people who walked by that day did not have the chance to look at the deity. They just didn't see it. They didn't see Lord Nrisimhadeva because there were totally different purposes in their heart. There was no spirituality in their heart. I remember, my dear devotees, I hope you will not become disappointed with me. But I remember when I first came to the temple, I was very, very fallen, much more fallen than nowadays. I said, I heard he has an altar, can I see it? And the devotee said, yes, just go there. And they described the altar. And I went, and I only saw flowers. I still remember what I saw. I saw tulips. Tulips, the German word is tulpen. How do we say in Croatian? Tulpen, yes, it sounds like tupko. I was really tupko at that time. I only saw the tupkos, the tulpen, you know. I remember, I was disappointed. Where's your, is it a flower presentation here, or do you worship flowers? No, you ignorant boy, look very closely. There are the divine forms of Radha Krishna. I went again, I said, I'm sorry, I can only see tulpen. Then the pujari came on the altar and said, here is Radha, here is Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yes, this happens when you are not tuned in. You just cannot see. There are many, many, examples from cognitive psychology which show that persons can only see what they expect to see. They cannot see the unexpected. I remember one thing, but I don't think it's interesting in a devotional lection. We would go too far away from our subject today. So, yes, even when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, the Bhattacharyas, the Tapasvis, the Sannyasis, Jnanis, Yogis, and all these other personalities who had other goals, like Brahman realization and Paramatma realization, did not recognize him. Only the bhaktas recognized him. So if you develop Chaitanya Bhakti, you will actually be able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now to develop Chaitanya Bhakti, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared to us in five features, five aspects. And it's very interesting. If you really wish to see or meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to first of all learn what these four aspects or features are. Then you have to learn how to approach them and pray to them properly. And then you will be able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's actually a science, and I do hope that it is not too complicated, and I also hope that you are interested in this project to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When I asked one of you, do you actually want to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He answered, maybe you have noted it, a little unsure. Yes. I mean, I have many other things to do. I have to maintain my life. I have to work, but yes, if there's some time in between, there I have time for him. Maybe something like that. See, if you want Krishna consciousness to work for you, you have to become a little bit eager for Krishna. You have to desperately want Krishna's presence in your life. You have to actually be on fire with a desire to come close to your Lord. The Lord helps us by showing us that material life is miserable, but still some of us are so interested in the world that it is almost impossible for us to find the desire to come close to our Lord. We somehow think maybe it's not possible. This happens when you are practicing a spiritual process for a long time with inattention. Then you begin to think it's actually not possible to make a spiritual realization. Because for so long you tried your spiritual process, but you didn't give it enough attention or not enough intensity. And therefore, based on your experience that the Lord has not come up till now, then you think it will never be possible. It's something which happens later, maybe in another lifetime or in another birth. So, okay, but we will now hear the science. It goes, it's actually described in the very first verse of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isham Isha Vatarakan Tatpakasham Shatat Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangakam. Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami offers his obeisances. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual master. Masters, plural. The devotees of the Lord incarnations, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I will read this verse tomorrow morning. It's a little complicated, so I will make it a little bit more simpler for you. We will start with this verse, but I just wanted already to bring it to your intention, and then tomorrow we will go deeply into what it means. But now I want to say, it is possible to get Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's darshan and to get his mercy. There's a very nice song in this connection by Srila Lochan Das Thakur. It means, "Oh brothers, who wants to cross beyond the ocean of material existence?" Do you sometimes think about this, to cross the ocean of material existence, Venugopal? Or do you only think of the boats which pass by in Pula? Do you actually think sometimes like this, that you want to stop your material life? Does this idea enter your brain sometimes? If this idea has entered already your heart, then Lochan Das Thakur says, "Lord Chaitanya has descended in this glorious age of Kali." You might think, what, a glorious age of Kali? It's a highly unglorious. No, it's a wonderful age for becoming Krishna consciousness. Everything else is absolute misery. But if you try to become Krishna conscious, it's the best age for this project. So who of you wants to cross the ocean of material existence? Then he says, "At my beloved Lord Gauranga's Ghat, there's a ferry boat." Yes, there is a ferry boat. "It takes everyone across the material ocean for free, including the materialistic," oh, I have a chance, "the blind and the afflicted." See, an ocean, that is what Venugopal can confirm to us, because he is from the ocean, not the Adriatic coast, is miserable only to someone who doesn't have a boat. If you have a boat, the ocean is glorious. You can actually sit in your boat, go with the waves, look at the wind, look at the fishes, get a nice suntan. But if you have no boat, then the ocean can be misery for you. Even the Adriatic Sea can be misery for you. There are people who drown. I remember when I was in the Canary Islands, I almost drowned. So much misery. But a boat, then everything is pleasurable. It's very nice. So, Lord Chaitanya has this boat to bring us over the ocean of material life. And then, what boat is this? Well, who is the captain in this boat? What are the different features of the boat? The verse says, "The spiritual master is the steering person on that boat of the holy name. With his arms upraised, he incites means it. He pushes everyone to chant." Not pushes. He induces everyone to chant in the sankirtan. There's also a wonderful wind which helped this boat. It's a sailing boat. With the help of the wind of divine Lubov. It's divine Lubov, not mundane Lubov. With the help of the wind of divine love, all living entities easily cross the material ocean. Hare Krishna. Then the author says, only Sri Lochan Das Thakur has been left behind because of his own fault. Do you also want to be left behind, or do you want to be on the boat? It's so much misery when you see a boat going from the harbor and you are left behind. I remember we once in Heidelberg had a congregational boat adventure. We all went in a boat. It was a huge boat. There were like 200 of us. And we were driving up the river. It's called Nectar. The Nectar River. Or is it another name? No, it's Neckar, not Nectar. Almost Nectar. And we went up the boat, and the boat's ride, and we just chanted until the captains became crazy, because he had never seen such a thing. It was so wonderful. Even the captain, after he had his little test of purification, he became blissful at the very end. So I remembered when it was a huge boat, maybe like three times as big as the temple room. I remember when we took off, then there were, of course, five devotees who had come too late. And they came, you know, they looked so absolutely miserable. I said, Hare Krishna, Hare Bo, chant. No, they were just crying. Then somehow we could convince the captain to again come on land, because the devotees were just too miserable. I mean, they were ready to commit suicides. Because it's so painful, this moment that the boat has left without me. When I came to Zagreb, I saw even people who missed the tram. They were so miserable. Have you seen? They run to the tram and it's gone, and so on. So, my dear devotees, how do you feel? Are you on the boat of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Do you feel you cross the ocean of material existence? Do you see that you are actually making a distance to your material life every day as the boat progresses? Are you on the boat? Or where are you? Dizzy? Where are you? Are you still in the world? And do you like it in the world? Hare Krishna. Yes, these are important questions. Because, see, if you do not have a desire to be connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if you do not have a desire to get on the boat of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then you are actually wasting your time every minute of the day. Hare Krishna. I would like to end my thought-provoking lecture. This is the only a little intense lecture. The others are all very nice and so on. Let's see. I will look in your eyes and then I will decide. there is one very nice work. It's called the Bhakti Ratnaka. It's written by Narahari Chakravarti Thakur. I do not really remember if it was another work, but Narahari Chakravarti was a disciple of Nishinga Chakravarti, and he was a second generation Chaitanya Bhakta. That means he had never seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had only heard from the devotees who were still on planet Earth after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left, how Mahaprabhu was. I'm just reading another book which was written by a second generation Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Bhakta. And he described that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was about to leave planet Earth, a terrible misery happened. There was an earthquake, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had received Mother Bhumi and had told her, I want to already tell you, I will leave the planet in 1 week or so. And Mother Bhumi screamed out, oh no, what will be with me? And she shook so much in restless pain that many houses in Jagannath Puri collapsed. It was a terrible earthquake. It's actually, you can find this in history books of Indian geology or so on. It was just before Mahaprabhu left. The earth turned deeply or wild in pain. It really was wild in pain. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually understood, I need to do something, that my movement goes on. And he had already his solution. He gave two extraordinary devotees the power to distribute his love. One was Narottam Das Thakur, and the second was Srinivas Acharya. He deposited the love which he had in his heart in their heart, and they began to distribute it afterwards. And then the parampara continued. Our Srila Prabhupada also is one of these devotees who had just so much ecstatic love in his heart that we can surely assume Mahaprabhu had given this to them, so, because he wanted the movement to go on. So this Narahari Chakravarti once sat with another devotee, and the devotee told him, "Do you know that there is a prophecy about you?" How do we say prophecy? Mm-hmm. That sounds very similar. So this prophecy, you will actually spread Krishna consciousness because you are very dear to Chaitanya. But Narahari only lamented. Narahari lamented so much, and he could only see darkness around. He asked the devotee, "Where is Gaurahari? Where is Nityananda? Where is Syamananda? I did not see the pastimes. Why was I born too late? I'm so unfortunate." And as Narahari lamented his his unfortunate situation, he actually began to cry desperate tears of separation, and he started to roll on the ground. The ground became muddy from his tears. He rolled more and more until he finally arrived in Gopeshwara Mahadev's temple. You know, this was happening in Vrindavan. The Brajavasis came and saw him and said, "Please, don't cry so much, great devotee of the Lord." He said, "I'm not a great devotee. The Lord has forgotten me." And he developed all the eight symptoms of great ecstasy. They're called the Ashta Sattvika Bhavas. And then finally he lost his consciousness right before the entrance of Gopeshwara Mahadev. Who has visited this temple, please? You must visit this temple. It's so, so good. Vajavani, you have visited? Very good. Gopeshwara Mahadev. By the way, we have heard that Lord Shiva wants to participate in the Gopuni celebration. He will come with his Nandi. Maybe we should still build. I know for sure, Lord Sandarananda, I have heard this. He will come personally, in person. We should maybe make some provision for Nandi, his bull carrier, some place. Maybe in Gurgadatta's house he can go. The bull of Shiva, is he welcome in your house? Yes, you will see with your own eyes. I'm almost certain. So then he lost his consciousness, and in his ecstasy he saw Vishwanath Chakravarti. Vishwanath Chakravarti said, "You cry because you feel separated from Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. But don't you know they are always there? My dear devotee, see, the Lord Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur made like this, and then Narahari Thakur saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just like we have heard in the lecture. It was not just some philosophy. It is not a theory. He actually saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then he saw Nityananda, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, Haridas, Ramachandra and Srinivas. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, here, my dear devotee, take this chamara fan and fan the Lord. Narahari was fanning. Total ecstasy. I think it's impossible to describe Narahari's ecstasy. Here the Lord for whom he had cried, for whom he had lamented, whom he had so often wanted to see, where he so often felt, why was I born too late? One lifetime too late. Here he was. And he could fan him. Then Nityananda came. He said to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, hey, where did you find him? Who is he? Vishwanath said, a little bit insecure, because Nityananda was not so pleased. He is a disciple of Narsingha Chakravarti. Ah, said Nityananda, he belongs to Ramachandra's group. And he took him and threw him before the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked at Narahari Thakur and said to Advaita Acharya, is he coming from you? And he gave him to Advaita Acharya's hands. Advaita says, no, no, I don't know him. And gave him to Gadadhar. Gadadhar handed him to Srivas. Why me, said Srivas, I don't know him. Then he was handed to Rupa, then to Sanatana, Gopal Bhatta, and all asked, why me? I'm not responsible for him. I don't know what happened, why he's here, and so on. Then to Jiva, Srinivas. Finally, he came to Ramachandra, and Ramachandra laughed and said, my dear disciple, Narsingha Chakravarti, he is one of your disciples. He's a party crasher. He wanted to just go to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't accept anyone if he is not recommended by his spiritual master. You must take care of your disciple. Narsingha Chakravarti Thakur said, he's a very, very wonderful disciple. And he went personally with Narahari and gave him back to Nitai. And when Nitai received this devotee from the hands of his spiritual master, he was very happy. He wanted to show that no one can come to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without going through their gurus. Those who want to jump over the spiritual master and see, or the spiritual masters, plural, and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without this blessing, they are not entitled. They don't have the potency of empowerment with them, divine empowerment. Nityananda was this time very happy. He took Narahari and brought him very lovingly to the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I want to end here. Tomorrow we will continue with this very, very deep Leela. The Leela is not yet finished. I have not even started. Tomorrow morning comes the best part of this Leela. We will actually see what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does tomorrow, which is very amazing. Okay, I want to summarize what I wanted to say. God is always there. Lord Chaitanya is always here. It may appear that he appears and disappears, but he is eternally present, and there is a way to contact him. In this seminar, we will learn how to contact him korak pa korak, step by step. I think from this last Leela, we know already that we have to approach Lord Chaitanya through his dear devotees, the spiritual masters, and we will start tomorrow with a verse describing this science. For now, I want to encourage you. We have a few wonderful days before us where we will hear, oh Krishna, so many nectarian and holy informations, which will help us really to not miss the boat, but to get on top of the boat. And I think after Gopurnim, when there's the highlight of our seminar, that is the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after Gopurnim, every one of you will be a Cheshti Bhakta, a pure devotee. No, I honestly think like this. Don't laugh as if it is impossible, as if I have said all of you will be rich people. No, if you laugh like this, you will never see. You can. It is possible. This Krishna consciousness movement is not a movement of cheetahs where spiritual results are promised and one cannot get them. No, one can get them. It depends on our sincerity. It is a very deep movement. It is not superficial. It is very sincere. And it is necessary for us if our to make spiritual realizations so that we can actually help the people of this time. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. I'm very sorry. In this first part of the lecture, I must establish the possibility in your minds that you are tuned into this understanding. I also can become a devotee who has a realization of the Lord. That's very important. If we never think about these things, if we never think of crossing material life, we will always stay here and we always feel the boat is missed. I have not gotten on it. Oh, Krishna. And then we will always turn to material life and feel material attraction and repulsion and and we will not join the Hare Krishna movement, which is very bad for devotees. On this lecture too, I always tell my audience, please join us. If you want to find us, we live in the land of the holy name. Please join us. Hare Krishna. Dobro. Now, do you want to ask any question or are you... the question is about going through the spiritual master. I think we have heard this Leela of Narahari Chakravarti Thakur. There we feel that Lord Nityananda, see that Lord Nityananda only accepts and Lord Chaitanya they only accept devotees who have gone through the proper channel. So how is this with jumping over the spur to master? Sadanandi had heard that Prabhupada was upset when a disciple of his prayed to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he said, you cannot directly pray to him. So how is it with us? We are disciples of spiritual masters. Can we approach Srila Prabhupada? That incident which you quote, Hare Krishna, Lakunoj, Haribo. That incident which you quote, I have also heard about this incident. It must have been a disciple who maybe had distanced himself from Srila Prabhupada with the idea that he wanted to go directly to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We have often been encouraged to approach the previous acharyas. That's a very common statement, and learn, for instance, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I know of a letter of Prabhupada where he said, we should translate all the books of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There was some question whether devotee this could read these books, yes or no, and Prabhupada said, by all means, they must be read. But with and through the spiritual master which one has, then it is this is the parampara system. We will hear about this tomorrow when we go to this verse which explains how we can approach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it says there one should go through the spiritual masters, plural. But one obviously starts through one's own spiritual master. And this Narahari has written a book about this subjects relating to etiquette. And he said, when we hear something from other spiritual masters, we should bring these understandings which we have gotten to our spiritual master and see and ask him how to apply these understandings in our lives. See them. It may be that we need, for instance, an explanation of some of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's statements in order to understand them in the proper light. Therefore, we always go to our spiritual master who really helps us in the absorption and digestion of spiritual knowledge. So this disciple of Srila Prabhupada must misunderstood this point and jumped over Prabhupada. That means disconnected from him and so on. I don't want to make it so theoretical. This was a theory. I want to now give a practical a dimension of the answer. See, the spiritual science is very, very deep and very subtle. I must tell you that as I'm growing older and older and read more daily, I do my Svadhyaya, I'm trying to do my Svadhyaya, means study, I can find out that there are so many nuances that there's so much to learn. It's entirely fascinating for me. And the way I personally do that is I always take Prabhupada's statements, principles, which he made very clear, and then I can understand all the other things in true perspective. Otherwise, it could be difficult. You have to drive your car then, so that the others can go, yes? See, our spiritual master, if we have a proper relationship to him, that is, if we want to learn the spiritual science from him, if we are really inquisitive and eager and we want to serve Krishna properly, then he can help us so much to do that, because he understands us. We have a history with him. We have asked him questions. He has asked us questions, and he can just help us to put everything in the right perspective. And that's so important. I want to give you a very simple example. Actually, it's so unpleasing that I don't want to put it now. One of my god brothers said, was this such a groovy Osaba, you know, by his material birth, that he just had misunderstood Prabhupada totally on one point. And I'm really not enthusiastic to tell you the thing, because it's just so distressing to even hear how Prabhupada could be so grossly misunderstood. And and you could understand this person was actually doing something which was dangerous. And if there would have not been a possibility to correct him, he thought he had understood, but he is misunderstood. So I thought like this: when we read the scriptures, we can sometimes misunderstand things if we don't have someone who puts it in the proper perspective. Because again, it's a very subtle thing, the spiritual knowledge. And suddenly it has to be revealed in the heart also. It's not enough to just hear it. It must be revealed in the heart that we know what it is. And so on. We had an aratik on the stage. We had deities which were the size of our deities here in Zagreb, and they actually started all of a sudden to move on the altar. And I thought maybe I'm a little sentimental or a little tired or a little emotionally, and I thought maybe it's so much ecstasy, because this was the first program with 33,000 people. Do you know how much this is? It's really an ocean of people. And can you imagine the excitement? Especially when this Russians, you know? Ooh. Yeah, it was really very exciting. So I turned to the other members of the group to see if they also had seen something. But they were not facing the altar. They were facing the crowd. I was the pujari in that aratik, and I was the only one who faced the deities. Then I really wanted to know if I was seeing something, because maybe also I got too little prasadam or some biological, biochemical thing. Then I looked at the crowd, and when I looked at the crowd, I knew I saw the truth. The crowd started all of a sudden to move. I even have pictures of the crowd, which I kept. Poor Prabhus, you should have seen the crowd. It looked like an ocean, but not with little waves, with huge waves. The waves were moving, and the crowd was moving. I've never seen a crowd moving like this, because it seemed that the ecstasy was moving the crowd. And then I did almost not dare to look at the deities. Then I looked again, and they were dancing. Then I felt someone hit my shoulder. Then I turned around, and it was like a big, wie sagt man, flower bouquet. Do we have this in Croatian? Bouquet? It's a French word. Bouquet, s'il vous plaît. And it was a bouquet which had fallen on my shoulder, as if it was, you know, someone had thrown it from the crowd on my shoulder, almost as if it was a confirmation. I should not doubt that what I was seeing was true by the Lord. Bang, like, then I looked again, and I was almost not able to remain on my feet. They were dancing. That's all what I can say. Please believe me, they were dancing. Please do not think I saw illusions. If they were dancing, I'm 100% sure. And the crowd is my proof. Because they move as if, almost as if a storm had moved them against the wall. There were people climbing on each other's shoulder and again on the shoulders to see the miracle happening. It was just amazing. Hare Krishna. This is the one where I have a proof. I saw many other things, but I have no proofs. And you will say it's only your subjective emotionalism, so therefore I don't tell it. But this is, yes, I have a proof. Yeah, these are very, very wonderful things. That's Mahaprabhu's mercy. And you can have this mercy also, but you must believe that it is possible. You must believe the scriptures. They are not just some words. They are actually telling the truth. They are not meant to just whetten your appetite by some exaggerations. But they're telling the truth. So from tomorrow onwards, we will learn how to come to this. As I'm telling this, I'm a little bit feeling a little. See, I don't want to say that this is something special. You all have had such experiences. If you look back, it's not. Please don't think I'm not at all. I don't want to say I saw something which you don't also see. I think when you are praying to the Lord on the altar, sometimes you have also seen that the Lord are there. They are present. They are not. How do you say? I don't want to say. They are conscious. Conscious of your own prayers, and they answer your prayers. You have seen that also. Everyone can see. Krishna. But there was something special. I mean, when the deities dance, it's a little unusual. Then I showed to the other devotees, I said, look at the deities, don't look at the crowds. But they were all, you know, on the, such a big stage, and you see all this. They were just, it was so intense, you can't believe how intensely spiritual the atmosphere was, that we were all overwhelmed. Never seen such a thing in my life again. How the people responded to us. Many devotees in Mayapur describe how they, how Mahaprabhu appeared to them. Mm-hmm. And we will hear a little bit about that from the Shastras. Good. Any questions? Other questions? Or I think maybe by now we should feel, oh Krishna, 9:30, it's 9:30. Please forgive me. Today is Ekadasi. We are a little bit in the clouds. Tomorrow it will not be so long. Thank you very much. And I want to again say, it looks so nice with this floor. This is the best floor I can imagine for such a temple. It looks so natural because now many people want to see something natural and something warm made with wood and all. So it's very good. And I think it will not happen again what happened before, because you have made this little, isn't it? Is it for that? That the wood can expand actually without forming the Himalayan mountains. Noted. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gorni Thai ki. Go pe manandi hari hari bo. Swami Sachinandan Maharaj ki. Yeah.